Good afternoon. It's just about 3 o'clock. You are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the 19th of June, the year 2014. Jeff Barrett here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll get the details about Friday's Pride Prom with Mo Longworth, James Hoglund, and Becky Bear. Jody Weber and Philip Crowder will be here to highlight Friday's dance performance. We'll learn about hiking with the scientist with guest Sanjay Pyar, and Catherine Hatch will be here with Arts Up. That Writer's Almanac Bird Note Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. With the forecast for tonight, cloudy skies, a chance of rain, low temperatures 43 to 47 degrees with light winds. Friday, rain, the high temperatures around 33 degrees. Friday night, cloudy skies with a chance of rain.
This is National Native News. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Many lawmakers on Capitol Hill are praising a federal patent board ruling to revoke the trademark for the Washington, D.C. football team. Matt Laszlo has an update.
While many people in the region are surprised by the ruling, D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton says it didn't catch her off guard.
I am not shocked at all. The handwriting was clearly written on the wall.
Earlier this year, 50 senators urged the commissioner of the NFL to call on the team to change its name, but the league refused. Holmes Norton says the board's ruling that the name disparages Native Americans brings shame on the region and team owner Dan Schneider.
And now the shame is that he's had to be sued and lose in order to get rid of a disparaging name. He should have done it before the law made him do it.
The team's trademark lawyer released a statement saying they're confident on appeal their trademark will be upheld. The team argues nothing has changed in the 15 years since they won their last appeal. Washington State Democrat Maria Cantwell chairs the Senate Indian Affairs Committee. She recognizes the issue isn't going away.
So this is not the end of this case, but this is a landmark decision by the Patent Office that says that the NFL team here in Washington, D.C. does not have a patentable name, and that this is an offensive term, not patentable by the Patent Office. And so I hope that all the business decisions over there at the team will understand that this is no longer a business case and will get off of this slurrous name that we need to change.
While the case is on appeal, the six trademarks will remain in place. Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Matt Laszlo.
The Canadian government has approved with conditions the controversial Northern Gateway pipeline proposal. It would carry Alberta oil to the British Columbia coast, where it would then be shipped by supertanker to overseas markets. But as Dan Karpinchuk reports, many Aboriginal groups along the proposed path say they'll continue to fight.
Enbridge, the energy company behind the proposal, admits that it still has a great deal of work to do to convince the public that the Northern Gateway pipeline is a benefit. The National Energy Board recommended approval subject to more than 200 conditions. In addition, Enbridge has to meet conditions set out by the province of British Columbia, and it must also get approval from First Nations that would be affected. Environmental groups and opposition parliamentarians have described the decision as a complete folly. Art Sterrett is the executive director of British Columbia's Coastal First Nations.
One spill on the coast of British Columbia wipes out everything that we stand for as Coastal First Nations. It wipes out our culture. It wipes out our food. It wipes out our economy.
Sterrett says his group will wait to see if Enbridge dares to put shovels in the ground. He says First Nations will protect their rights in the interests of future generations and never allow oil tankers into territorial waters. Stuart Phillip, the president of the Union of British Columbia Chiefs, was also outraged at the decision to approve the pipeline.
We're still completely disgusted with the arrogance of the Harper government and deeply angered.
Phillip says his group will move into the courts for what will almost surely be a protracted litigation that could take years. Native groups have appealed to the British Columbia government to put a stop to the project. Even so, with all the conditions yet to be met and permits to be obtained, it could take a decade before work on the pipeline even begins. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
A wildfire on the Navajo Nation has burned at least 13,400 acres. The Assayet Lake Fire was first reported on Friday, June 13th, and continued to grow this week. The Southwest Area Incident Command reports the fire was 5% contained by Wednesday night. It's estimated that nearly 50 homes are currently threatened by the fire, and 5 structures have been destroyed. During this month in 1984, the U.S. Senate on Indian Affairs became a permanent committee. For National Native News, I'm Sarah Gustavus.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Humboldt State University has a part-time, 3.5-year online Master of Social Work program emphasizing decolonizing work with rural and indigenous communities. Applications accepted from August 1 to begin in January. More at humboldt.edu/socialwork. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American radio service.
Time is 3:05, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. I'm your host, Jeff Brown. In studio with me are Mo Longworth, James Hoagland, and Becky Bear here to talk about the Pride Prom, which is happening this Friday at the Rockwell at 8 o'clock. Thank you for coming down to the station, everybody.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So first of all, Becky, what is a Pride Prom?
Well, you know, we've been starting to throw dances as fundraisers, and when we chose the June 21st date, we thought, wow, that's really close to the end of school, 20th, I'm sorry, and, you know, what do people have at the end of school? They have prom, and there's senior proms, and there's seniors, like really old folks prom, and we said, let's have a Pride Prom to celebrate our community.
And when people walk in this next Friday at the Rockwell, what are they going to see? And here,
well, DJ Manuel is playing, and he rocks. I think he's the best in town. We love him, and we love his music. We're going to be decorated in rainbows. What else? And
rainbows kind of typifies that the reason the rainbow is the symbol of our community is it celebrates our diversity. And we want a diverse crowd there. It's for straight, gay, queer, however you define yourself, you're welcome to this prom. And we're even able to open it up to 18 years and older. So even if you just had your senior prom for Thunder Mountain or JDHS, you're welcome to come again to our prom. And if you had your prom 50 years ago, you're welcome to come to our prom and recreate the prom of your choice on Friday night. That's tomorrow night. You'll also see some people wearing fancy outfits and other people just wearing whatever they usually wear. So you can dress up like a prom or you can just wear your regular old Juneau clothes.
And in conjunction with that, we have been working with Brown Boots, and they're offering a 10% discount on any costumes that people pick out. I picked up mine today.
What kind of costumes?
I'm coming in full tux.
What makes this Pride Prom different than the other proms? James?
Well, this prom is different because it is really and truly welcome to everybody. You can come with a date, or you can come by yourself. You can come with the date of your choice. And unfortunately, we do know that a lot of people aren't allowed to bring the dates of their choice at a lot of schools around the country, and we just, you know, we want to recognize that everyone should have the opportunity to be with whoever they want to be, regardless of the gender or their sexual orientation.
Or their color.
Absolutely.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about the group that's putting it together.
The PFLAG Juneau Pride Chorus is a group of singers who's been around for over 12 years, and I think Juneau has grown to really love our music as much as we've grown to love singing our music. And we celebrate diversity in our music and equality. And we try to travel to events where we learn more about singing and are united with other people with similar singing platforms every couple years. And it's very costly because we've grown to be close to 30 members.
Actually more.
More than 30 members. And it takes a lot to get us across the country or down to the next ones in Denver next year when we are already fundraising, trying to get money to go to our chorale festival. So this money goes toward that.
And what's the cover price?
The cover price to get in is a $15 donation, and we also want to thank Rockwell's because they're going to do a signature drink preparation that if you buy that particular cocktail, a dollar of it goes toward the Juno PFLAG Pride Chorus. And we also want to thank the Alaska Brewing Company, who donated beer, that if you buy that beer, the money will go directly to the PFLAG Juno Pride Chorus. And so if you're selecting a beverage, you can select one of those, and you're also giving more of a donation to our group. And Becky can tell you about a dinner thing they're doing, too, at Rockwell.
Right. Rockwell's is going to have two meals. I understand one is scallops, and I'm sorry, I forgot the other, that part of that money from that will go to us. But on the other hand, I mean, Rockwell's is a great place to come and eat. So, you know, come early, come late, eat before or eat during. It's sort of free and open to everyone.
Bring a date or several dates.
Yes.
That's right. You could come as a group, come on your own, whatever, and you can purchase food downstairs and bring it up to the ballroom where we're having the dance and eat. So it's, and we're going to have a bar there for drinks.
Can you tell me a little bit about the nature of the drink? What's it called and what goes into it?
I don't know.
It'll be something celebrating Rainbow Pride. So I imagine there might even be a couple different flavors and colors.
There's also rumors of cupcakes.
And if you are a later dinner eater, you could start your evening at 6 o'clock at the Silver Bow, where there's also another Pride event for celebrating Pride Week with the Pride Poetry Slam.
Yeah, at 6 o'clock at Silver Bow, Woosh Kennedy and Lauren Tibbetts Travis will be hosting a poetry slam, and it's open to the community. If anyone wants to go and share a piece that they've written themselves or recite another poet's piece, they can sign up at 6 o'clock, and the show starts at 6:30, and you can hang out there for a little while, listen to some great works by your fellow Junoites, and then head on over to prom.
That's right, just down the street, 8 o'clock at Rockwell's. And at the prom, we're also having several entertainers. We're having Daphne Darling, who will be doing two numbers, and she will be in the earlier part of the evening. And then we're having Gigi Monroe, mid-evening, and if Sammy O'Connor can get away from work, she will be doing a tango toward the end of the evening. So there's going to be a variety of performances. So if you're not a dancer, you're just you want to come and be entertained, just still come up to Rockwell's, and there's a good program for you.
Everybody's getting into the action. I noticed Mother Nature herself delivering a couple of great rainbows in the past few days.
Yes, right. And we're supposed to have a little rain tomorrow night, so you're going to want to come in for cover.
And there's also films being shown at the Golden Nickelodeon Theater.
Absolutely. This week is Pride Week here in Juneau, which is chock full of events. And one of the series of events is a LGBT, which is stands for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Film Festival. Every night at the Gold Town Nick, we've had films playing. Tonight at 9 o'clock is Gun Hill Road. Saturday night at 9 o'clock is My Summer of Love. And Sunday afternoon at 2:30 is Cloudburst. Each film is $9 to get in, or you can buy a pass for the week, which still is a good deal for $20 for all films. And we also have tonight a Pride Week outdoor hike and bonfire starting at 6 o'clock at Skater's Cabin. We'll be hiking out
the West Glacier Trail, I think.
Probably the West Glacier Trail, and then following that with a bonfire. So that should be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow night,
you can go right to the movie after that.
Right, you can go right to the movie. We try to not have any gaps at all. We covered tomorrow night's events. And then on Saturday, SIGLA, the Southeast Alaska Gay and Lesbian Alliance, is hosting our annual Pride Picnic at Sandy Beach. That's noon to 4. All are welcome. We'll have games, music, food, lots of family fun. And it's, again, our annual celebration of the LGBTQ community here in Juneau.
And all the community is welcome, all of our allies. And please bring a dish to share or a beverage.
Yes, and then that night we move on to a bar crawl and a big gay dance party. Saturday night we start at 8 o'clock. We start at the Triangle, and we'll be hopping around to all the local watering holes, and then we end at Rendezvous for the big gay dance party. And that event is 21 and up. Then we finish up Pride Week back at Rockwell on Sunday. From noon till 2 p.m. we have the Pride Brunch. And then in the evening on Sunday, we have Music on the Fly, special guest starring the PFLAG Juno Pride Chorus. That's at 6:45 down at the airport. So we've got tons of events. And if you're interested in any of them and need more information, you can visit our website at www.segla, that's SEAGLA.org.
And if you're interested in more information about the PFLAG Juno Pride Chorus, you can also find that on the Internet. And, in fact, singers that haven't sung with us before can join us next fall when we start up our new season, and you could get information at our website. Or tomorrow, I guess the Pride Chorus will be here talking. But we really hope that we have a really wonderful turnout for the Pride Prom. It'll be more fun the more of you who come.
It's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Rockwell. Longworth, James Hoagland, Becky Bear, anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
No, just come on out.
All right, thanks for coming down to the station today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 19th of June, 2014. It's the birthday of the film critic Pauline Kael, born Petaluma, California, 1919, who said, "You have to be open to the idea of getting drunk on movies." It's the birthday of Salman Rushdie, born in Bombay, India, 1947. It's the birthday of the short story writer and memoirist Tobias Wolff, born Birmingham, Alabama, 1945, his memoir entitled This Boy's Life. It's the birthday of the mathematician, physicist, and theologian Blaise Pascal, born in Clermont-Ferrand, France, in 1623. In the field of physics, Pascal discovered that air has weight, and he conducted experiments to prove that vacuums could exist, which led him to formulate the hydraulic principle that pressure exerted on a fluid in a closed vessel is transmitted unchanged throughout the fluid, which is used today in devices such as syringes and hydraulic presses and the brakes on your automobile. In mathematics, he founded the theory of probabilities and developed an early form of integral calculus. And he produced two great works of religious philosophy, Provincial Letters and Pensées, his thoughts, 1658. Blaise Pascal, who wrote, "In faith, there is enough light for those who want to believe and enough shadows to blind those who don't." It's the birthday of Greil Marcus, born San Francisco, 1945, editor of the collection of essays entitled A New Literary History of America, former reviewer for Rolling Stone magazine. Greil Marcus, who was named for his father, Greil Gerstle, who was killed in World War II before Marcus was born. Gerstle served on a Navy ship, one of three that were deliberately sent into a typhoon, and although the other officers urged him to mutiny, Gerstle refused and all three ships sank, an incident that inspired Herman Wouk to write his novel The Caine Mutiny. Greil Marcus was an adult before he heard the full story of how his father died. Greil Marcus, who said, "All our lives, from the time we lost our lives to Little Richard and Elvis Presley, people were telling us, 'You're going to outgrow this.' But when the Beatles showed up, suddenly we realized, no, you don't have to outgrow this. You can't outgrow this. You shouldn't outgrow this. Here's a poem for today by Jane Hirschfield entitled After Work. I stop the car along the pasture edge, gather up bags of corn cobs from the back, and get out. Two whistles, one for each, and familiar sounds draw close in darkness, cadence of hoof on hardened bottomland, twinned blowing of air through nostrils, curious, flared. They come deepened and muscular, movements conjured out of sleep, each small noise and scent heavy with earth, simple beyond communion, beyond the stretched-out hand from which they calmly take corn cobs, pulling away as I hold until the midpoints snap. They are careful of my fingers, offering that animal knowledge, the respect which is due to strangers, and in the night their mare's eyes shine, reflecting stars, the entire outer light of the world here. After Work by Jane Hirschfield from her collection Of Gravity and Angels, published by Wesleyan University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying. Learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it. So can you.
You can quit. We can help. Call Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line. 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Time is 3:22, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Jeff Falker here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guests are Judy Weber and Philip Crowder here to talk about the Weber Dance Company performance tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Thunder Mountain High School. Judy and Philip, thank you very much for coming down to the station.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jeff.
So, Judy, when did you first discover you wanted to be a dancer?
Well, I have to say that I took my first dance class at 4 years old, so it was pretty early on. But by the time I was 13, I was already traveling on the East Coast down to the Washington Ballet to study. And by the time I was 16, I uprooted myself from my small town and moved to Chicago so I could study every day. So it was really part of my life from my earliest days.
Parents be supportive of you?
They were wonderfully supportive of me.
What style attracts you the most?
I'm most attracted to contemporary dance or modern dance. I certainly had a classical training first, and I think that's really fundamental. But at 16, I encountered modern dance for the very first time when I went to Chicago. And for me, that style of movement really opened new doors, and it's become my love, and it's the style that I work in as a choreographer.
Could you define modern dance, please?
It's always a tricky question. So around the between the turn of the 19th century into the 20th century, there's a few things going on. There was a women's movement where women were trying to get rid of the corset and move more freely and actively in life. And at the same time, there was a revolution against classical ballet that was going on at that time. And so a new form sprung up that was freer, that went barefoot, that had much more use of the torso since that corset was gone. And over the course of the 20th century, there were techniques that developed to train the body in this new style. Now ballet and modern have very, very much come back together. And in fact, all modern dancers that I've worked with have ballet training, and most ballet dancers have modern training. So we really are closely interrelated.
I'm guessing you've trained probably a couple dozen dancers.
Yes, over the years, probably more than that. Indeed.
About how many would you say?
Oh, my goodness, I can't even imagine. I've been teaching for over 25 years. So, and I started out actually working with teenagers, and a lot of those young women went on to professional careers. Now I'm a university professor, so now I'm working with college students.
Can you tell in a glance or two whether a person's got it or not?
It's an interesting question because certainly there's those students that pass through your classroom that just have something extraordinary and special. So I would never say that that's not true. And, you know, you may see a future for them. But I'm also always surprised by someone who I think, I'm not sure that person really could do it. And they may rise. They may change. So only time really will tell and how hard the student works.
Strength and balance are two of the things that are probably necessary, but what other things are necessary?
I think a real passion for the art form. I think anyone who wants to be a professional dancer has to really, truly love it because it's a day in and day out practice to get the body into the shape that you need to be a performer. I think that passion then, if they have it, will come out on the stage and they're performing, and that's what the audience really feels. That's the magic in the theater.
And you've been here for 3 weeks teaching people a little more about their dance careers.
We have been here for 3 weeks. It's been a great 3 weeks. We've been working with a whole variety of ages. We did some work at the arts camp as well. So I think we are starting with about six-year-olds there, all the way through some adults who have joined us in our evening classes. And we've had all different styles going on. We've had, of course, modern, which is my love, but also some Broadway-style dance and lots of choreography classes. So the students are learning how to be creative and make dances as well as participate in them.
It must be kind of special to look at the dancer you've trained for the aha moment that they get themselves.
There is something wonderful, and I think the opportunity to do choreography with the younger children is really special because they're at such an open age and they're so willing to experiment. And when you first start with them, when we first get here, they're often a little bit shy about it, and they just open up. And by our third week, all sorts of choreography is pouring out of them. And it's also exciting with the teens to see how over the course of the choreography classes, their eye gets more keen to seeing and understanding movement. So it's a great experience.
Tomorrow night you're going to demonstrate some of these things that they learned. Do they do their own choreography?
They won't actually be performing their own choreography in this particular performance, but we have the teens doing four brand new dances, which is an amazing push for them. We really worked hard with them. So four different styles, and we have our younger students doing two different dances, which is more than we've ever done in past years. And then my professional company from Boston will be also premiering some new work, so that will be really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Philip, could you tell me a little bit about tomorrow night's performance, please?
Yes, it's going to be at the Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium at 7 p.m. It's going to be the Weber Dance Company, and also with in conjunction with JDT students, the workshop students, and they've been working really hard for the last 3 weeks to put together a wonderful show. I hope everybody comes out to see it. And tickets are available at the Jack or online at www.jahc.org, also at Hearthside Books or at the door. $15 tickets for adults and $10 tickets for seniors, youth, and students, and that includes UAS students. We do have a group discount, 10% off for four or more at the Jack. And for more information, you can call 463-5327 or go online to www.genodance.org and get more information there. And I would like to also point out that this is the sixth year that the Weber Dance Group has been coming to Juno, and we're just thrilled to have them here. They're wonderful people, wonderful artists, and I hope everybody comes out to see the show.
All right. Thank you for coming down. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
I think that people who love dance and Juno should come out and support us tomorrow night. And if you love modern dance, this is a great opportunity to see that kind of style of dancing, contemporary dance. Again, you know, the Weber Dance Company has been coming here for many years, and every performance they do here is just fantastic. It's really spectacular.
Could you tell me a little bit more about the Juno Dance Theater?
Yes, you know, we changed our name this year to Juno Dance Theater. It used to be Juno Dance Unlimited. That was our old name. And we decided that Juno Dance Theater was more appropriate and more modern in what we've been doing, you know, as a school that teaches dance as a theater, art as a fine art. And so we offer ballet as a base, And we also have modern dance, contemporary dance, hip-hop, and American theater dance taught by our master teacher, Richia Dan, which many people in Juneau are familiar with. And we're, you know, we're so happy to have her here doing that style of dancing. And also I'd like to say that summer classes this year at JDT are going to be June 30th through August 15th, 7 weeks. You know, and people are invited to come out, and they have never taken a ballet class before, they can try it. Everybody's welcome to come to our studio at any time. And again, you know, that's June 30th through August 15th.
All right. Thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Time is 3:32. You are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on the Juneau Afternoon. I'm Jeff Brown. I'm your host. Time is 3:32. In the studio with me now is Sanjay Piare, who's a scientist, and he's going to tell you all the great things about being a scientist going on a hike, which is happening this Friday. And he's also going to talk about EPSCoR. Thank you for coming down, Sanjay. First, tell me what EPSCoR is.
Oh, so EPSCoR is a program that's sponsored by the National Science Foundation, and it's basically more or less EPSCoR is a grant that the University of Alaska Southeast received to increase its research capacity, basically improve its ability to do research, and in particular the National Science Foundation is interested in doing integrated research or interdisciplinary research, so research across, you know, biology, physical sciences, social sciences, economics.
So you're going to be going on a hike on Friday.
Yeah, so on Friday, we're going to be hiking our research team and students associated with our research team. So these are professors at the university, largely, and students. And we're going to be sponsoring a guided hike, an interpreted hike, along the Herbert Trail from the estuary to the ice field. And that's because our EPSCoR project, or the theme of our project, is actually ice field to estuary, and it largely is derived from the ecosystems that are associated with that gradient as you go from glaciers through freshwater streams into the ocean environment. And so we're basically going to be following the path or following the thread of our research as we hike, and doing some guided hikes along the way.
And what time does that start?
That's going to start at 10 o'clock at the trailhead.
When you hike, do you hike as a hiker or a biologist?
I try to do a little bit of both. What I find is that when I try not to do science or as a biologist, and I just be myself, that inevitably I come full circle because people are curious, and I'm curious too, just like anyone else, and that's the root of science. I come back to scientists, so I guess I kind of do a little bit of both. You know, I don't mean to, but I do.
What's your favorite place to hike in Juneau, and why?
Oh, boy. That's got to be one of my favorite trails. You know, nothing really beats basically, I feel like it's traveling through time, right? You're basically going from an area that's heavily glaciated back down to the estuary that was previously glaciated. And so it's almost like kind of doing a little walk through time, and like you can kind of make these little observations along the way. And it's obviously, you know, it's a pretty easy hike to do. And these days I have little kids, so I like to do that hike with little kids. You know, it's a good one.
What kind of things do you find?
A lot of the things we find along the way are interesting observations about how the forest changes, for instance, along the way. How the quality of how the quality of water changes along the way. You can actually see that in terms of sedimentation. There's some things you can see along the way also that relate to the flow of fresh water and where salmon spawn as well, and why they spawn in certain areas along the way. So these are all kind of observations you can make right there along the trail system.
When you hike, do you do a lot of down on your knees stuff? Are you too busy enjoying the
I like to crawl around on my knees, and I like to take in the big picture. I'm kind of a big picture all the way down to a little picture, and that's I started as a very little picture crawling around in the soil, and you know, but increasingly sort of became more and more big picture, which is why I'm really interested in this project.
Is there a trip to Berners Bay scheduled?
I'm sorry?
Is there a trip to Berners Bay scheduled?
There will be probably next summer is what we're planning on doing. So next spring we're gonna plan more of a Berners Bay. So Berners Bay is our primary study area, where we study this ice field to estuary system, and it's a little inaccessible for the average person to get out there, obviously. So we thought it's best to study or use the example of the Herbert Glacier system as a proxy, basically, for what's going on in a place like Glacier Bay. But yeah, hopefully in the future we're gonna do a Berners Bay trip.
What kind of people are you looking for to hike with you on Friday?
We're looking for the Juneau community. So anyone and everyone on this one. In the past, we've done this hike. This is our second annual one. We did one last year that was largely oriented towards educators and teachers. Because we wanted to just have a conversation with teachers. And this time we're interested in having a conversation with really everyone in the Juneau community. And that's really even kids, agency people, educators, and people that are just interested, generally speaking, in the natural history of the area. So, and interested in science as well.
What kind of gear should people bring?
Well, it's looking like it's going to be, you know, I guess you should be Juneau prepared. You ought to bring your swimming trunks, and you ought to bring extra Tufts.
Swimming trunks.
If you're bold, you know, I don't know if you're going to jump in the Herbert, but it's supposed to rain, but I don't, you know, the Herbert's pretty easy trail, I guess. Just you don't need to be prepared to. We're not going to be crawling around the glacier or anything. But I would say you should bring a backpack. We're gonna provide a lunch, so if you have a backpack with some water and your own snacks, we'll provide a lunch for you. We'll provide some interpretive materials as well, some paper materials. You can take them with you if you have a backpack.
Use it to start a fire in case you get lost.
Right. But other than that, if you want to bring binoculars or a spotting scope or something like that, because we end it at the Herbert Glacier, and that's a nice place to look for mountain goats and whatnot, or do bird watching as well if you're interested in that.
Do people need to RSVP seeing they know?
They were supposed to have RSVP'd, but we're at this point we're pretty well prepared. It's okay if you just want to show up. I can give you a number if you're interested in more information. It's Sarai Timothy is our outreach coordinator for EPSCoR, and she's helped largely coordinate this effort. And she's at 796-6046. So 796-6046. If you want a little more information and or you want to RSVP, that's fine.
Is there a website people can get more information about EPSCoR?
There actually is. If you just Google Alaska EPSCoR, so EPSCOR, EPSCoR, interesting acronym. It stands for Experimental Program to Stimulate Competitive Research, if you really want to know. But just erase the fact that I just told you that. It's just EBSCoR, right? And even if you spell it pretty close, you'll get there. You'll get to the Alaska EBSCoR website, which is the statewide Alaska EBSCoR program. There's similar programs in South Central Alaska and the North Slope of Alaska that are mirroring what we're doing down here.
So that's at 10 o'clock at the Herbert Glacier Trailhead?
10 o'clock. Trailhead, lunch provided, bring a backpack, public and kids invited. We hope to be back at about 3.
When you say kids, how old?
I think it's okay to bring kids down to toddlers. If, you know, I think it's fine. I think it's a great trail. As long as you're willing to haul them. We'll probably have a couple of people on bike show up, I imagine, too. But I think that's fine. Kids all the way down to they're the best scientists and the most curious. So I think it's great.
Sanjay Piyari, thank you for coming down to the station. Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
I don't think so. I think just see you tomorrow. And yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods to where the winds are blowing free, through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me, and I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the truth, get the gang to come, and we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river, through the woods. You're wondering if I go wandering with you, what kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into. Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river. I'm wondering if you'd come wandering my way, if you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray. The music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. Round up the troops, get the gang to come, and we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
It's a brand new CD to the station by a group called the Okie Dokie Brothers. They spent a month hiking the Appalachian Trail and made a bunch of songs about it.
This is Bird Note, the common potu, a nocturnal bird of tropical Central and South America. What does musician Nancy Rumble, who composed the theme music for Bird Note, hear in the call of the common potu?
Well, I think that birds are like natural musicians, that when we hear their songs, immediately we do want to respond.
Using the same pentatonic scale, she responds with her ocarina. Here she adds piano.
Often I will make sketches before I will create a longer composition, so perhaps the Common Potu song might someday develop itself into a longer piece of music.
More, come to birdnote.org.
Tonight on 360 North, it's Rain Country Reflections at 8 and Alaska Magazine Television at 8:30. At 9, join AARP Alaska to discuss Alaska's judicial system. The Aviators is next at 9:30. And at 10, a new documentary series, Japanland, looks for the Japan we may not know, from a bicycle war in a Tokyo suburb to a visit with a 24th generation sword maker in Suburban Samurai. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Time is 3:46 and you are tuned to KTMO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. I'm Jeff Brown, I'm your host. In the studio with me now is Catherine Hatch from the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, here to talk about things going on this weekend.
That's right, Arts Up. Well, we're halfway through Pride Week, and there's still a lot of events going on for that. Tonight, beautiful weather. It is the perfect time for their Pride hike and bonfire. If you go to the Skaters Cabin at 6 o'clock, you can go with them. More details on seagla.org. That's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, they picked the one day of the week that was not rainy, so good job. Otherwise, you can, if you're back in time, you can go to their film festival continuing on. Tonight they've got the Gun Hill Road. That's at Goldtown. If you were smart and got the pass for the entire festival, it was only $20. Otherwise, it's $9 a film, but still a great deal. It's Thursday, so there's karaoke at McGiffney's. And the other movie that's playing all week at Goldtown is Only Lovers Left Alive. Just kind of an ominous title, but what do you expect from German cinema, right? The genre there is drama, horror, romance. So kind of a fun mix. Should be very weird. On Friday, of course, we've got our Food Truck Friday happening at the Jack. Last week we kind of skipped out. We had the vendors there, but we had celebration going on, so there wasn't any live music per se. But this week it's back on track. It's going to be a little bit different because Perseverance is still in our main hall building their stage because Summerfest starts at the end of the month. So we might not do the music in the stage. It'll be in the lobby shop or in the gallery or on the lawn somewhere. We will have the live music, and that part will be free, and the vendors will all be there. And we're hoping for good weather, but you never know here. So we've got the tents, so you'll be covered.
You're getting quite a facelift on the inside there, the Arts Council.
Yeah, actually, I poked in there today. The stage has been built. It's huge compared to our old stage, and then the grid on top of our ceiling that they put in earlier to house lights, well, it has lights on it now. So I'm not sure if I need a hard hat to walk in there. It looks like they could drop on my head. But there's so many spotlights, it's like a real theater now, which makes sense. That was the point.
I got to ask, how is this going to affect other happenings in the Jack?
Well, this summer, we actually have rented exclusively to Perseverance for the entire summer. So through now, through August 15th, I think is their last day, and then a few days to break down, there will be no other rentals of the Jack, unless you just want to rent the gallery. That space is, you know, semi-available based on exhibits. But we, you know, we had to turn away a lot of unhappy brides and people wanting to do meetings, and we actually developed a list of alternative venues of Juneau. So if you are stuck and don't know what to do between Summerfest at the Jack and Centennial Hall's renovation, you can call us anyway. We'll give you a list of alternative venues, but it's a tight year for rentals this summer.
If it's a small place, you can do it at 360 North downstairs here at KTMO.
Absolutely. That is available for rental. That's on our list. What does it fit? 80 people? And you could film it and have that video forever. Have you had any weddings yet there? Because that might be kind of fun.
Statewide wedding. I don't know.
There you go. Yeah, just broadcast it. That's unique. Cool. Well, next week tomorrow for our Food Truck Friday, we'll have three different performers that each get a half an hour. Juliana Bibb is up first. She just recently did our Music on the Fly. And now she's going to be performing. She's a singer-songwriter, local Juno gal. I think she also plays, it's the harmonica. I was about to say accordion, but.
I think she plays the auto harp.
The auto harp? We'll see. And she'll be there at the first time slot. Then we have the Juno String Ensemble. They originally said they were going to bring the Crimson Quartet, but I hear they are down to two. So it's going to be the Crimson Duet tomorrow. And we'll see which stringed instruments they bring along. That's at 6. And then 6:30, we've got Cluttered Rooms. That's Carl Reese's one-man rock folk band. So we'll see him and his guitar jamming out with us.
And the food starts at?
Food and vendors are there at 4, music from 5:30 to 7. And I'm not sure if we're doing Mosquito Market or not. I haven't seen from here if the flag is flying. But keep your eye out. If you've got stuff you want to do a mini garage sale in our parking lot, that's only $5. And vendors, it's only $10 for a table. So come on down and sell your wares.
So you have a flag that you raise and if
mm-hmm.
it can happen.
Okay. For the Mosquito Market, it's a bright red flag. We've got our flagpole in front of the jack, and it has a mosquito on it. So pretty easy to recognize. We also post it on our website and on Facebook, and we send out an email blast to people in the past who've been interested. So get on that list if you want at jack.org, J-A-H-C, and you can be part of the fun. Or just come and see how it is. That's the best way to do it. Tomorrow at 7, right after we finish, there's going to be the Weber Dance Performance. That's happening at JDHS, and you can get tickets online or at the Jack Hearthside, the usual places. We've also got the last of the Pride Film Festival movies, My Summer of Love. So if you want to combat that German movie, you can maybe watch that one. There's also going to be a beat-down summer solstice slam, and there's also going to be a poetry slam for Pride Week. That's both happening on Fridays. And then Pride Prom, adult prom, is 8 p.m. Friday, Rockwell Ballroom. Saturday, fun stuff going on. There's Uncruised Adventurous Hospitality, a wilderness adventurer, happening bright and early. You can also go to the Tlingit Beadwork with Ricky Tagaban at the Canvas, and he makes beautiful stuff. We have some of his bags in the jack available for purchase if you would like to check out his handiwork. It's also summer solstice this weekend, and here in Juneau they always say it's the beginning of the end. You lose a little sunlight every day after that. I'm not that depressed, so I'm excited for the longest day in the year because that also means it's time for the 30th annual Only Fools Run at Midnight. Do you do that one, Jack? Jeff?
No, not yet.
Getting up at 11:59 and sprinting down past Centennial Hall.
We certainly hear them from our house.
Yeah, me too in the past, and I guess we'll see how I feel. I think it's going to be rainy again, and my team usually dresses as cavemen, which is not really rain gear provided, so we'll see. We'll see how I feel about it.
You dry off anyway.
I guess. If there was hot cocoa at the end, maybe. It's only a 5K. I could probably do that. Sunday, we've got our Music on the Fly concert series that we do out of the airport. That's also free, obviously. You should come down and enjoy it. Who do we have this week? Musical Moments? Is that what's going on?
Juno Pride Chorus,
duh. We were unable to get them a spot at Food Truck Fridays, which was so awful because we were just booked solid, and they were too. It was the only time they could come. So instead, they're going to do our Juno International Airport. They'll be on the radio tomorrow to talk to us about that, so that's cool. I'm not sure how many members of the full P-Flag chorus are going to be out there, but works perfectly to round out the Pride Week, and maybe they'll be sending off some of the visitors who are here for Pride Week Sunday night at the airport. Come on down for that. 6:45 is when that free concert happens, and we posted beautiful videos of Musical Moments concert last week on our website. That was really cool. Lots of summer camps continuing next week. Outdoor Explorers Beach Week. We've got wheel throwing. There's all sorts of STEM programs. There's summer food service. Just nonstop things for kids to do at the Zach Gordon Youth Center, at the Canvas. Then next week we've also got our art party, our arts roundtable at the Jack. If you are involved in an arts organization, if you yourself are an artist, if you are a person who is interested in art and how it happens and what's going on around town, downtown, come to the Jack Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. We're going to have a little art party where we discuss this kind of thing. It just seemed important to do, and we do it every month, but we just want to make it more visible because the Jack is on the rise. We've got the Willoughby Arts Complex coming. We've got Summerfest already here with Food Truck Fridays. So if you want to participate or if you're doing cool things and want to tell us about it, that would be the place to get involved and get connected and just kind of link up with everyone else. So
something that could be confusing for people in the 4th of July, which is the first Friday. You're actually having the first Friday on the Thursday.
Right, first Thursday, because, yeah, we didn't want to get all the events confused with the parade. So if you want to do first Friday next month in July, we're doing it on the 3rd, first Thursday. That's when our exhibit with M.K. McNaughton is going to open. And I think a few other places around town have hopped on board, too. If not, you could just come to our gallery opening. That's fine.
And I think there's something happening at the canvas, too.
And on 4th of July itself, we will be doing our Flapjacks fundraiser out on the lawn, where you can get patriotic pancakes with red, white, and blue whipped cream and berries for a good price. And it all goes to support the Arts Council. So you get a prime spot for the parade, and you get a hot meal out of it. Deal.
What a deal. I'm going to do you to bring it. You didn't bring any by with you, did you?
I didn't bring any samples today. That's all up to the board. They signed up yesterday. Christine Crooks is spearheading that whole project. So if you want to get involved with that, we're looking for volunteers. You could definitely come and flip some jacks with us. It's so sad that we don't have the whale out front anymore, because last year Candy Barons had him dressed up with a little apron on and a chef's hat. And, well, we're just going to have to dress up a volunteer, so come on down for that. Get some pancakes and enjoy the parade, 4th of July.
Dress like a whale.
Yeah. Cool. What else is going on? Old String Time Band is happening every Wednesday at the Alaskans. You could do that next week if you missed out yesterday. There's also always karaoke either at McGivney's on Thursdays tonight or on Wednesdays at Rendezvous. I wonder how the karaoke went. I haven't seen any photos yesterday as part of the Pride Week. We'll have to root around online a little bit for that. What did you say was happening at the Canvas for their first Friday next week?
No bones about it.
Exactly.
And that's the name of the show.
And are they making things out of bones? Rachel would have been super into that. Rachel Usler, one of our artists in residence.
Well, if somebody can come down and talk about it, Darren, I think in the coming
week. Yeah, that's going to be our discussion for next week when we've got the full list of all of the first Friday, first Thursday things happening around town and all the 4th of July things.
And one of the things that I think people should be putting on the calendars is the Summerfest for Perseverance Theater.
Yeah, I believe the first play starts at June 28th, and there's lots of different ways to get tickets. There's going to be three plays happening every week kind of simultaneously. So if you've got relatives in town for one weekend, they could, in theory, see all three plays. And the cheapest way to do that would be to buy a Flex Pass, where you get three tickets, buy them at once. And you can either go to each play yourself. You could go to one play three times. You could go to a one play with two friends. I mean, those tickets are really well interchangeable, and you save a little money that way.
Dave Hunsiger's play Warriors, I heard a sample of it the other day on Peace Talk here at KTUO, and it's just gripping.
Oh, cool.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing that as well as the other plays.
I actually just bought myself Blue Bear so I could read the book that the play is based on by Lynn Schooler before I go and actually see the play. I don't want to spoiler alert myself, so I thought I would go and see that first. I read that first.
All right, Catherine Natch, anything you want to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Yes. If you want to be on this calendar or if you want to see the rest of it, because this is just a sampling, visit our new website, jahc.org. That's jahc.org. And we're working on a more streamlined way to get the events on the calendar. But until then, continue to email us at junoartscouncil@gmail.com with the who, what, where, when, and why. And you can be part of our community calendar.
Catherine Natch, thank you for coming down.
Okay, bye, Jeff.
Deanna Bogart of the group Cowboy Jazz and the new CD that came out just today. Tomorrow at 3 on a June afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. We'll continue our Fish 101 series by talking to Julianne Curry from the United Fishermen of Alaska. We'll talk to Clay Richardson about Saturday's Story Hill Summer Potluck. Jerry Harmon will be here to highlight this weekend's Gold Rush Days. We'll find out more about the music and food. You'll find out at this week's Food Truck Friday and Music on the Fly. Ed Raiders, Almanac, Bird Note, Music and More tomorrow at 3 on a June afternoon. For the forecast for tonight, increasing clouds with a chance of rain later on, low temperatures around 35 degrees, southwest winds 10 miles per hour in the evening becoming light. Friday, rain likely, mainly in the afternoon, high temperatures around 54 degrees. Saturday, rain likely. Saturday night, rain likely. Sunday through Monday, rain likely. Our next is All Things Considered. Thank you very much for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today.